Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to 2 Samuel chapter 4. Second Samuel chapter 4, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And when Saul's son heard that Abner was dead in Hebron, his hands were feeble, and all the Israelites were troubled. And Saul's son had two men that were captains of bands. The name of the one was Baanah, and the name of the other was Rechab, the sons of Rimmon, a Beerothite, of the children of Benjamin, for Beeroth also was reckoned to Benjamin. And the Beerothites fled to Gittaim, and were sojourners there until this day. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame in his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. And the sons of Rimmon the Beerothite, Rechab and Baanah, went and came about the heat of the day to the house of Ishbosheth, who lay on a bed at noon. And they came thither into the midst of the house, as though they would have fetched wheat, and they smote him under the fifth rib. And Rechab and Baanah his brother escaped. For when they came into the house, he lay on his bed in his bedchamber, and they smote him and slew him and beheaded him and took his head and gat them away through the plain all night. And they brought the head of Ishbosheth to David, unto David to Hebron, and said to the king, Behold, the head of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, thine enemy, which sought thy life. And the Lord hath avenged my lord the king this day of Saul and of his seed. And David answered Rechab and Baanah his brother, the sons of Rimmon the Beerothite, and said unto them, As the Lord liveth, who hath redeemed my soul out of all adversity, when one told me, saying, Behold, Saul is dead, thinking to have brought good tidings, I took hold of him and slew him in Ziklag, who thought that I would have given him a reward for his tidings. How much more then, when wicked men have slain a righteous person in his own house upon his bed, shall I not therefore now require his blood of your hand and take you away from the earth? And David commanded his young men, and they slew them and cut off their hands and their feet and hanged them up over the pool in Hebron. But they took the head of Ishbosheth and buried it in the sepulcher of Abner in Hebron. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, it looks like the falling apart of Ishbosheth's kingdom is now in full swing. Once something like this begins to happen, events tend to precipitate very quickly. And so these two men, these two sons of Rimmon, are not exactly favorable toward Ishbosheth anymore. Although they were for a time, they, like many, desire to be on the side that wins. And so we see what kind of loyalty they had toward Ishbosheth. Their loyalty was actually to themselves. And so when they snuck into Ishbosheth's house under color of, you know, getting wheat, they had another piece of business in mind, and that was to kill Ishbosheth as he relieved his weary feet upon his bed in the middle of the afternoon in the heat of the day. And so they came upon him softly, subtly, while he was asleep, and killed him. Brutal, premeditated act of murder. Well, as things would go in kingdoms, they thought that for sure David would be very forward to receive the head of Ishbosheth, his enemy. Of course, they didn't know what a godly king would do in a circumstance such as that. They didn't know what godliness would would dictate in such a case, because they themselves were ungodly. And so when they brought the head of Ishbosheth to David, what a surprise they received. The surprise that they received was that David was a righteous king. And as a righteous king, was merciful and did not require the blood of his enemies. As a matter of fact, when we read on and get to the kingdom of Saul, we'll see the same kind of thing in his son Saul. Although Saul was, his hand was finally forced against one of David's other sons. Yet, for a time, Solomon did indeed preserve the other sons of David until such time as it was not possible for him to do so. In other words, Solomon had the same kind of reign as David did, a reign that was replete with mercy, a reign that was replete with grace, a reign that, notice David's words here, that was replete with faith in God that he would deliver out of all adversity, and it was not necessary for the king to stretch forth his hand. Did you hear what David said? God hath delivered me out of all adversity. Now, why would I need your hands to kill Ishbosheth? That's the implication here. And so, since God has delivered me out of all my adversity, I'm a king who is merciful. I understand what mercy is because God has been merciful to me. And you thought, in coming to me with the head of Ishbosheth, that I would give you a reward. Yeah, that's not the first time that's happened to me, David says. There was another young man who came seeking a reward from me. He had the head of Saul. And the same thing will happen to you that happened to him. Well, what's the lesson in all of this? Well, the lesson, first of all, is that we ought to be merciful. Mercy is a great trait. It is especially winsome in kings and rulers and leaders. Those who have a greater authority than others often wield that authority in unjust ways. David here goes out of his way to wield that authority in the other way, in the ways of mercy, rather than in the days of exaction and hardship. And so, from that, we can take example that as we have received mercy from Christ, so we ought also to be merciful one to another, forgiving, open, trusting. You say, but if I'm trusting of people, what if they betray me? Then they have sinned. Oh, but it's against me. Oh, now we see what the matter is. The matter is more pride, isn't it? I don't want them sinning against me. How dare they treat me like that? You see, many times when we refuse to be merciful, it's because we have eye trouble. You know what I mean by that? It's I, it's me, it's my. You know, we three, we agree, I, me, my. And instead of opening our hand to our brethren and forgiving freely as Christ has commanded us to do in the 18th of Matthew, well, we want to make them earn it. You know, they have to pay their dues. All under the guise of, well, they just have to show true repentance. Toward whom? Toward Christ who has accepted them? Or toward you? Toward me? So the first thing that we see then from David is this winsome mercy, a winsome kindness toward Ishbosheth, toward Saul. The second thing that we need to learn is loyalty. These two sons of Rimmon, they didn't know the meaning of the word. They were out for the sons of Rimmon. That's not what loyalty is. And our loyalty, of course, first and foremost is to Christ. And in Christ, our loyalty is to one another as covenant people. That's our first call. That's the first item of loyalty. It's to Christ and to His people. If you ask people on the street, you know, who are you, what do you do, what do you like, many of them will start with, you know, I live here or I live there, or I was born here or I was born there. Others of them will start with, this is what I do for a living, that's what I do for a living. They define themselves in those ways. These men here, a few days before, would have defined themselves as, you know, servants of Ishbosheth. But if we define ourselves as servants of Christ, we stay out of danger, don't we? If we define ourselves as our first loyalty is to Him, to His people, well, then we get out of trouble. I remember when I was learning how to use a table saw, the man that taught me how to run a table saw said, here's what you do. You always reference your hand on the table and not on the piece, right? So that you have your hand, if you can picture this as the table saw, you put your hand on the table and then you push on the piece. That way, if the piece flies, where is your hand? It's reference, it's tied to the table. If it stays there, it's safe. If your hand is referenced on the wood and you're holding the wood and the wood jumps in the blade, guess where your hand's going to go? Well, it's going to follow right after, right? Where do we reference ourselves? We reference ourselves upon Christ. These men here reference themselves upon themselves. Whatever was good for the sons of Rimmon, that's what they were about to do, even the slaying of their former head and king. And then the last thing that we learn is that we cannot prosper self-serving. Self-serving, or serving ourselves, will not prosper. You know why? Because our attitudes, our appetites in such a case, are insatiable. We will not be able to satisfy ourselves by serving ourselves, for we will always want something. Those who press into serving themselves are always, they are the most miserable of the earth. How many times have I told you this? That wanting something is often more fun than having it. There's the magic of the hunt, the chase, the shopping, whatever it is. And then actually having it, it's like, eh, that's it. I mean, I wanted this thing for so long, it was so exciting, and now I've got it, it's anticlimactic. You'll never be happy serving yourselves. The rewards of self-service are not good. Rather, what these men should have done would have been to support their monarch, Ishbosheth, and helped him to negotiate a peaceful settlement with David. That's what their duty was. Instead, they saw an advantage for themselves. Do we look upon one another as means of advantage for ourselves? Stepping stones to a greater you? That's not where we ought to be. If we're going to step on anyone, let's step on ourselves for one another's sake. Right? Let's see how many of those around us we can lift up rather than lifting up ourselves. These two selfish men, the sons of Rimmon, decided to put themselves first. And, of course, David cut off their hands and their feet, which is a testimony that by their wicked hands they took off Ishbosheth's head, and by their wicked feet they ran all night to carry it to him. And so he cut off their hands and feet in testimony of their wickedness. Let's stand then and keep praising God in the singing of psalms.